Now I would like to read some verses in the 5th chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter 5. I'd like to pick up the threads in this chapter where we stopped the last time I was speaking here, 6 weeks ago today on the Sunday morning. John chapter 5 and verse 30. And I think we said on Thursday night that our subject this morning will be the five witnesses. The five witnesses. Witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ was the sent one of God, the Son of God. Chapter 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say that he might be saved. He, John, was a burning and a shining light. You notice the word was, past tense. Poor John had his head cut off by now. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witnesses than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures. Now really, if you could read this in the Greek language, it isn't imperative. He's not saying you search the scriptures. He's not commanding them. It's ye search the scriptures. You are the people that search the scriptures. Ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. Another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? May God bless the reading of this wonderful, precious book. Shall we seek God's blessing? Blessed God, our Father, again we seek thy face. We thank thee for the privilege of being here this morning. We thank thee for the goodly number of our wonderful friends that are here this morning. And we ask, Lord, that thou grant that the next few moments might be moments spent with thee. We pray that we might hear thy voice speaking to us. And we pray above all things that thy beloved Son might be exalted and glorified and honored in our midst. Take this precious word, we pray thee, thy book, and apply it to our hearts. We thank thee for the assurance the entrance of thy word giveth light. We would have been in utter darkness except for this wonderful Bible. We thank thee for it and for all the wonderful truth and the light that shines in it. So speak to our hearts, we pray thee. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now in our studies in John's Gospel, we have reached what I've been calling the second stage, breaking this Gospel up. We talked about the periods in the Gospel. We talked about a period of consideration. The first four chapters of John, men and women are considering the Son of God. God sent his Son. John 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Son of God from eternity in the beginning was the Word. The eternal Son of God came into this world of ours. And here in these first chapters, John is giving us the record of men and women that considered him. They're not fighting him. They're not arguing with him. They're just wondering, well, who is he? And the wonder to me is that during that period, there are so many men and women, as they considered him, it was revealed to them exactly who he was. John the Baptist was the first. He says twice in the first chapter, I knew him not. According to the flesh, he was his cousin. Of all the men who should have known him, John should have known him, but he said, I knew him not. He knew he was a wonderful person, but he didn't know that he was the Messiah. He'd come as the forerunner of the Messiah, making his path straight and preparing the way for the Messiah, but it was revealed to John. God had said to him, when you see the Holy Ghost descending from heaven and remaining on him, that's the one. And as John baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove and remained on him. He said, I saw and believed. And John says, wonderful words, I saw and believed that this is the Son of God. In the same chapter, there are others, disciples of John, who made this amazing discovery. Andrew went and said, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. Philip went with the same story. Nathanael said, Rabbi, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And they made this amazing discovery. And then Nicodemus came to him by night. And Nicodemus found out who he was, you know. It's a little vague. Three times Nicodemus is mentioned. In the third chapter, the seventh chapter, and the 19th chapter. But there's no question in my mind anyhow that Nicodemus discovered who he was. If Nicodemus had the pluck to go and beg his body from Pilate and bury him. Nicodemus made the amazing discovery. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we get into the fourth chapter, and this woman whom the Lord met at the well side, she came and said, come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She found out. The Lord said, I that speak unto thee am he. And she made this discovery. And then the men of Samaria came out. We talked about all these things as we've gone through these chapters. The men of Samaria came out and they said, now we believe. Not because of the testimony of the woman, but we have seen him ourselves and believe and are sure that this is the Christ, the Savior of the world. And they believed. Now there's no fighting, there's no controversy. Even when he went up to Jerusalem and drove out those that bought and sold in the temple, they didn't fight him over it. A period of consideration. But when we get to the end of the fourth chapter, and we enter the fifth chapter, we come to what we're calling the period of controversy. They're starting now to argue with him. They're starting to fight him. Early in the fifth chapter, he went to the pool of Bethesda, where there were five porches, and lots of sick people lying there waiting for the troubling of the waters. There was a time when the waters were stirred up, and these waters had a kind of a healing medicinal power, I suppose, and whoever went first into the water got healed. And the Lord came along and saw a man who'd been lying there 38 years. And the Lord said to him, wilt thou be made whole? And the man said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man took up and the bed he'd been lying on, put on his back, and off he went home rejoicing. And the Lord healed him. But he did it on the Sabbath day. And this is where that controversy started. He did it on the Sabbath day. These Jews had been watching him. These scribes and Pharisees and rulers had been watching to try and find something wrong with him. And now they got it. He healed a man on the Sabbath day. Verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And they asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? They didn't mind the fact that he made them whole. What worried them was that he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore, now look at the words, therefore, verse 16, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he'd done these things on the Sabbath day. Verse 17, Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now this is where the trouble started. This is where the controversy started. He not only broke the Sabbath in their estimation, although he was Lord of the Sabbath, but he made himself equal with God. Well, he was God. John wrote the very gospel. His whole meaning, his whole reason for writing the gospel was that we might believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. But these scribes and Pharisees and rulers of the Jews, this is the very thing they would not admit, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Now, we talked about these things the last time I was speaking here, this wonderful, wonderful fifth chapter in which we get that 24th verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. I suppose, as I look around you, I suppose we are saved this morning. But I remember a little incident in my life many years ago. I was in Egypt, and I was in the city of Alexandria, the great seaport of Egypt. And I was asked to preach on a Sunday night in a little group, little meeting they were starting there. And I preached for all I was worth on the last verse of John 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. And I waited. I hoped that perhaps someone would come to me after and say, can you help me to be saved? But they didn't. And the meeting was all over and the people were gone. And as they went out, they were nearly all gone. A little boy of 12, I shook hands with him. He said, Mr. Willie, can you help me? I want to be saved. And we went back into this little meeting room, and it took quite a while to show him the Word of God. And we finally got to John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And I kept emphasizing hath. H-A-T-S, H means you've got it, hath everlasting life. But it didn't register. And I gave him my Bible. I said, now read it yourself. And he read it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. He said, is passed? Is passed? But I got it, he said. Is passed from death unto life. And the boy was saved by that wonderful word, the entrance of thy word giveth life, is passed from death unto life. And he was saved by this wonderful verse. I think it was 3 years later. I was down at that. I'd never been in all the years, but I went back 3 years later to speak at a conference there. And our brother Neil Dougal, that comes here sometimes, he was present that day. And I remember the subject I spoke on so well. And then a brother said to me, I'd like you to meet Andrew. Now, Andrew, he was no longer 12, he was 15, and I said, I know Andrew, all right. I said, I led Andrew to Christ. He said, that's right. He said, that's 3 years ago, and I've been baptized, and I'm sitting at the Lord's table, and I'm seeking to go on and follow the Lord. That was 3 years ago. But here's the verse. Shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. The Lord Jesus says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now, this is what the Jews would not believe. In John's Gospel, we got the record of those men and women that believed in the Lord Jesus and received everlasting life. But these Jewish leaders would not have it. So we come down, the Lord said, the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall live. He's referring to those that are dead in trespasses and sins. They hear the voice of the Son of God and they live. The entrance of thy word giveth light. But then he goes further down, verse 28, he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when they that are in the grave shall hear the voice, shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. There's a wonderful day coming. When the Lord Jesus is coming with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They that are in the grave shall hear his voice. You know, it's a good thing when the Lord Jesus stood by the graveside of Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Good job, he said, Lazarus. So they've all come up, you know, because when the Lord speaks, the dead are going to raise. Ah, but listen. They're going to be raised unto the resurrection of life, they that have done good, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. His voice will be heard again 1,000 years later when you call upon the sea to give up the dead that are in it, and the graves to give up the dead, and the dead small and white, small and great are going to stand before the great white throne. And the judge will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, I never knew you. Their names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you say, depart from me, I never knew you. There are two judgments here, two resurrections here. Now the conversation goes on. And he makes that down to our verse 30 where we started. I can of mine own self do nothing. Now let's get the picture here. The Son of God came here. He was Son of God. Don't let's make any mistake. He was the eternal Son. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But he took his place down here in humility and in dependence upon the Father. So he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. It's very strong in the Greek here. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. He always did God's will. Oh, as I was reading this, I was reading this late last night, and I was bound to bow my head, and I said to the Lord, oh Lord, I wish I could be like this. I can of myself do nothing. How we try and do things in our own strength. And the beloved Son of God, the creator of the ends of the universe, by him were all things were made, visible and invisible, thrones, principalities, dominions, power, all made by him. And he took a place of humility and he said, of mine own self I could do nothing. And yet with one word he made the universe. And in his place down here as Son of Man, he said, I can do nothing. I take my place dependent upon my Father. Oh, that you and I could live a life like this. I tell you what, we'd have mighty power in our lives. If we could let the Holy Spirit guide and govern us in all the details. I can of mine own self do nothing. But I seek not my will, but the will of the Father which sent me. 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. What does he mean? This is the first of the five witnesses. Himself. The Lord is bearing witness of himself. Why does he say, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true? Well, there are many rules in the Bible about this. I'm going to read some of them to you. Turn back with me to Numbers. Numbers chapter 35 and verse 30. Numbers 35 and verse 30. And in these verses you will see that the Lord Jesus, although he was God, although he was Son of God, he submitted himself to the Scriptures and to what God had put in the Scriptures. Numbers 35, verse 30. It says here, whoso killeth any person, of course our wonderful, clever judges, our Supreme Court with all their wisdom, they ignore this today and they've brought in their own rules. And the result is you can't walk down the streets of most of our major cities because you're likely to be stabbed or shot or killed because they've done away with God's rule. Listen to what God says. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death. This is God's rule, never been changed yet. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. One witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Deuteronomy chapter 17 verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 17 verse 6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. This is why the Lord says, if I witness of myself, my witness is not true. It wasn't really that his witness wasn't true. According to God's rule and God's law, and according to the rules of the Old Testament, his witness was not acceptable. One witness was not acceptable. There must be at least two or three. But we'll come back to that in a minute. Look at Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Two or three witnesses. Now let's go over to the New Testament. Matthew 18, verse 16. Matthew 18, verse 16. Moreover, verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault with thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And one more. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And verse 17. The Lord is speaking. It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Now look at verse 18. Because this explains the whole thing. Verse 18 of chapter 8. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. So the Lord Jesus says in verse 31 of our chapter, chapter 5, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true, but there is another that beareth witness of me. Who is the other? The Father. I am one that bear witness of myself, the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know the witness which he witnesses of me is true. And the Father witnessed of the Son and revealed him to men and women that would receive him. So the first witness here then is the witness of the Son. The second witness, and of course they're all witnessing to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The second witness, verse 33. Ye sent unto John the Baptist, and he bare witness unto the truth. It's rather significant the way it's put, he bare witness unto the truth. Because the Lord says further down, I don't receive any witness from men. I don't receive witness from men. He received witness from the Father, but I don't receive witness from men, he said. So he says, John bear witness to the truth. But of course, it's the same thing. The truth was that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And John says, I saw and bear record. That's witness, isn't it? I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So John the Baptist bear witness to the truth. But I received not yet. Right here it says, I received not testimony from men. But these things I say that he might be saved. He's telling these Pharisees and these rulers and these leaders that they need to be saved. And he's telling them they can be saved through believing in him as the Son of God. And he says, you sent to John, look, it says, he was a burning and a shining light. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness of the truth. If you go back, you remember to the 17th chapter, verse of the first chapter, the 19th verse of the first chapter, the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask John, who art thou? Ye sent unto John, and John bear witness to the truth. John said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm only a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Messiah. And then the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he said, verse 29, John 1, behold the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world. John bear witness to the truth that Jesus Christ would hang upon a cross at Calvary. That he would bear away the sin of the world. I like to think, you know, baptism is a picture of death. Why should the Lord be baptized? He was the Lord of life. And John said, no, Lord, I can't baptize you. And the Lord said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Why was the Lord baptized if it's a type of death? You and I are baptized looking back to the place called Calvary when we died with Christ. The Lord Jesus was baptized looking on 3.5 years to the place called Calvary when he died. And lay down his life for us. And so John says, behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. He bear witness to the truth, John the Baptist. And John says, you're willing for a while to rejoice in his light. John was up. I like to hear the Lord say this. Because John was so despised and put in prison and his head chopped off. The Lord says, he was a burning and a shining light. What a man John was. Burning and shining for God. Second witness. The third witness. I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Now the Lord is saying, I bear witness of myself, and the Father is the other that witnesses with me. John the Baptist bear witness to the truth that I am the Son of God. Ah, but wait a minute, he says to these objectors. He says, listen, my works bear witness to me. I raised that man that was 38 years by the pool of Bethesda. I raised him. I said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the man was healed straight away. And you complain because I did it on the Sabbath day. The very thing I did witness to the fact that I am the Son of God. The works which I do. I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And Mark again, he keeps saying the same thing. the works which the Father hath given me to finish. He didn't choose what he was going to do. God told him what to do, as he should tell you and me what to do. And he did what God told him. The works which the Father gave me to finish, that I do. Now, so far, we've only had three miracles in John's Gospel. There are seven miracles in John's Gospel. We had the miracle of the turning of the water into wine at Cana of Galilee. We had the miracle of the healing of the nobleman's son. And we've had the miracle of the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. Next time we'll be getting into the sixth chapter, the feeding of the 5,000, the walking on the sea. All these are miracles in John's Gospel. And he says, these works that I do testify to the fact that I am the Son of God. You think of, in a raging storm on the Sea of Galilee, he said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. He said, this testifies that I am the Son of God. I made those waters. I made those elements. I commanded and it stood still. I'm God. And this is what they would not receive. The works which I do, the works which the Father has given me to finish. Just one note on this word finish. Look at chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 1. And here's the end of the story. The Lord now is just about to pass into the Garden of Gethsemane, just about to go over the Brook Kidron. He left the upper room in the last verse of the 14th chapter, and in the first verse of the 18th, he goes over the Brook Kidron, and now in the 17th, he's down near the Brook Kidron. And he says, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify me. As thou hast given me power over all flesh, that as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. All that God had given him to do, all complete. I finished the work. The works which the Father gave me to finish, he said. And he finished. I tell you, we come a long, long way short of the Son of God. He finished the work that God gave him to do. Think a minute. How many things have you got half done now? Think of the knitting and the letters and the gardening and the house repairs and all the things you were going to do and you started them, but you never finished. Not so the Son of God. He said, I finished the work which God gave me to do. He didn't leave it halfway. I find many, many, many a night at Park of the Palms I reach a stage when I say, I'd better put it aside for tonight. Pick it up again tomorrow morning. You can't get it all done in one day. And I don't like that because it's hard to pick it up tomorrow morning because tomorrow morning's got its own jobs to do. The Lord didn't do that. He finished the work which God gave him to do. And he says, these works which God gave me, I finished. These testify to the fact that I'm the Son of God. Now that was the third witness. And of the fourth witness, verse 37, the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. God sent his Son from heaven down here on earth. And God witnessed to the Son at his baptism. God opened the heavens and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. In fact, in the Greek it says, in thee I'm well pleased. In every case, in thee I'm well pleased. The voice of God spake from heaven. The Father bore witness. And ye have not his word abiding in you. Ye have not heard his voice at any time. They didn't hear the voice of the Son of God. John the Baptist heard it. God had been witnessing about his Son, Ever since he came here, he sent angels down when he was born at Bethlehem. And even shepherds came in and they listened to the voice of God saying, unto you is born this day in Bethlehem a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But they didn't hear it, these Pharisees. These objectors to the Son of God. He came to his own received him not. They didn't want him. They didn't hear his voice. I tell you, friend, it's a solemn thing to listen to the voice of God and to reject it. And I believe there are men and women living in our world today so hardened in sin that they don't anymore hear the voice of the Son of God. In younger days, they heard his voice, but they don't hear it anymore. Their heart's been hardened, and their conscience been seared, and they don't hear it. And he says, you don't hear his voice. You've not heard his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him, ye believe not. The proof of hearing the word of God and letting his word abide in us is to receive Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God. And he says, the Father himself, which sent me, he hath borne witness of me. God witnessed of his Son. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And in the 12th chapter of John, they thought it thundered. But it was the Lord, when the Lord said, glorify thyself, he said, I have glorified it, and we're both glorified again. A voice came from heaven. God witnesses to his own Son. And their cold, dark, blinded hearts knew nothing at all about it. I must hurry. The fifth witness, because this is the one I'd like to spend a little time on, the fifth witness. Verse 39. Ye search the scriptures. Now these were Jewish, devout Jewish leaders. And they searched the scriptures. Ye searched the scriptures. For in them ye think, I like that, you know, ye think ye have eternal life. They hadn't got eternal life. They just thought they had. There are thousands of people deluded today. There are people attending churches, become members of churches all over the place, and they think their church membership has made them a Christian. It never has and it never will. You don't become a Christian by becoming a member of a church. They've been blinded. You only become a Christian by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And these people were blinded in thinking because they searched the scriptures in them they had eternal life because they were God's chosen Jewish people and they were all right. But they weren't all right. God sent his only begotten Son, their Messiah, and they rejected him. They only thought they had eternal life. They hadn't got it. Let's search our hearts this morning. How many of us think we have eternal life? I'm amazed that I talk to people and ask them a simple question. I was talking to someone just a couple of days ago in our dining room. And I asked a simple question. And this is a lady that's a member of a church. And this is a lady that is attending church and Bible classes and so on. And I said, now tell me, when were you saved? Well, you see, when I was 12 years of age, I fell out of a tree and I cut my leg and I was bleeding to death and I called upon God. Then I became unconscious and when I woke up, somebody had come and bandaged up my leg and now, nowhere in the Bible does it say if you fall out of a tree and cut your leg, you're going to be saved. It doesn't. You see how people put their trust in such funny things. See? So I said, well, now, tell me, what verse of Scripture are you resting on? Well, I don't know. Well, I said, let's go to the simplest verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. Quote it. I said, you say John 3:16. She said, I don't know John 3:16. She's a member of a church. I don't know John 3:16. So I started for God so loved the world. She said, yeah, I've heard that. Something about perishing or not perishing or something, but she didn't know. In them you think you have eternal life. And this poor lady spent many, many years in the Christian Science Church, deceived by cults of Satan. Deceived. I believe she's safe. So she couldn't put a finger on anything really.
Indeed, he thinks he has a trouble.
Well, listen, we've got this wonderful Bible. So let's be thinking about it. Now let's put our finger on it. I like to put my finger on the simplest verse of all, John 3:16, but that's how God saved me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, and I have to put my finger on it, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you say that? Some of you here this morning, I know you're going through troubles and problems, and can you put your finger on some verse and say, that's how I know I'm saved. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son, hath everlasting life. Have you got your finger on some verse in the Bible? Romans 10:9, for if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you don't think about it, then you know. So that John can write, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that he may know, that he have eternal life. You search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This book is all written about the Son of God. These scriptures are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that he might have life. See how stubborn. This is the controversy we're talking about. Ye will not come to me that he might have life. I receive not honor from men. He said that further up in the 34th verse. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I tell you, when you're dealing with the Son of God, you're dealing with somebody that knows you. I know you. You can sit in these pews this morning, and it looks good. But the Lord Jesus knows you, right down in your heart. He knows me. He knows how true we are. I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. And they were the leaders of the religion of their day. And they have not the love of God in them. And there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of them today the same. Leaders of religion standing in our pulpit. And God says, I know you. You've not got the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name. You receive me not. Another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. This is prophetic. When the church is gone, and the Lord comes and calls us to glory, another is coming up, the false one, the Antichrist. And you know what? You say, I'm the Messiah. I'm the sent one of God. And the world is going to fall at his feet and worship him and receive him. This is the lie of the devil. This is going to take place very soon. Men and women are going to receive a false Messiah. Another shall come in his own name. I came in my Father's name, he didn't receive me. Another is coming in his own name. Him ye will receive. How can ye believe? How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seeketh not the honor that cometh from God only? These fellows wanted to be praised by one another. They sought honor one of another. He says honor comes down from God. You've got to be pleasing to God if you want honor. How can ye believe if you receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to my Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Boy, Moses is what they loved, you know. The first five books of Pentateuch, the writings of Moses, that's where they put their trust. And Moses wrote of me. If he had believed Moses, he would believe me, for he wrote of me. How wonderful it is for us to whom it's been revealed by the Holy Spirit, to open the book of Genesis and see Christ there. To open the book of Exodus and see Christ there. To open the book of Leviticus and see Christ there. To see that day of atonement, the 16th chapter of Leviticus. And the blood shed and sprinkled in the holy place, and say that's a picture of the precious blood of Christ. They read all that, but having nothing about it. You search the scriptures, you think in them you've got eternal life. But he said to them, you don't know anything about it. You're reading a book with blinded eyes. You have to accept Christ as your Savior. And he'll open your eyes, just like today, if you accept Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you, and your eyes are opened, and you can see the wonder of this great, wonderful book, when you accept Christ. If he had believed Moses, he would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writing, how shall ye believe my words? These are the five witnesses that the Lord brought up before these controversial men. These that were arguing and sought to slay him. These are the witnesses. Himself, John the Baptist, his works, the Father himself, and the Holy Scriptures. Five witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we bow before thee now and worship thee. We thank you for this book, so accurate in every detail. We thank you for thy beloved Son. Oh, how boldly he spoke to these men that would have put him to death, and did put him to death. How boldly he honored thee. We love to hear him say, I can do nothing except by the Father. Lord, help us to learn this lesson. Not to do things in our own strength, according to our own will and our own plans and purposes. But may we in every detail seek thy guidance and do nothing except by the Father. We thank thee thou hast given us the Holy Spirit in our age. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us to show us and teach us and tell us what to do. Help us to be subject to the leadings of thy Holy Spirit. O God, search our hearts now in these closing moments. And if there's one here, young or old, who doesn't know thee yet as Savior, who's been thinking that they have eternal life and they haven't got it. Oh God, reveal thyself now. Reveal thy Son. And in these closing moments, may they understand that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And there's no other way, for there's none other name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. We seek thy parting blessing and ask thee that in eternity, we might see some eternal fruit for this morning's meeting. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.